funding that are allocated. things that we're talking about. The Limpopo province is really one of the least urbanized provinces in the country, with a majority population of about 5.4 million. It is projected to be around 5.6 million, and most people are living in rural areas and are unemployed. The state numbers suggest that there's about 8% of the people that are really living below the poverty line in the province. It is also lacking in terms of the real economic growth. The real economic growth for the province is averaging 2% annually. So it is really a province that requires all of our support in terms of growing the economy. If I can take you to the table, I hope you can see. Basically, what we're beginning to say is that in terms of per capita spending, the province is the lowest spending, or is spending very low in terms of per person on capital spending. The average spending in the country is 5,100 rand per person in terms of capital spending. Limpopo is averaging around 2,800 on each person. So what that says is that in terms of development, each person benefits around 2,800 rand in terms of per capita spending. The average is 5,100 in the country. You will see that if you look at the table, if I can point it this side, if you look at the table, similar province, the three states, the northwest, and Mpumalanga are also lagging behind. Interestingly, these are all regarded as rural provinces. So there's quite a lot for all of us to still support these programs. Next slide, please. My next slide talks about the service delivery backlog in terms of how we've achieved over the years since 2001 up until 2011. These are numbers that I'll be talking about, and my focus would be on five districts in the province: Mopani, Bembe, Capricorn, Waterberg, which is not a water service authority, and of course, basically, what this table is saying is, there has not been much progress, especially to the extent that we would like to see in terms of service delivery, primarily around the water provision. The table talks about backlog to access for services, but that looks after that looks into the water, sanitation, electricity, and refuse removal, and it also talks about the infrastructure. Now, if I can ask you to look in the handouts, because I think it's easier to look at the, if we look at Mopani, under the access to services table, honorable members will realize that the backlog for water has increased from 138,000 households to 207. You will see the same trend across all districts. You will also see that even with electricity, backlogs has been increasing over the years between 2001 and 2011. If we look further down in terms of the table, in terms of the infrastructure, what is actually very interesting, you'll see that There's been some improvement in terms of infrastructure that has been developed in the area. If we can again look at water under the infrastructure, in 2001 we had about 101,000 households benefiting in terms of infrastructure development. That number for Mubani has decreased. The same thing is realized across all districts. Now, that is beginning to tell us that though there seem to be work done at infrastructure level, our people are not, the end users are not receiving the services. Now, the question perhaps to ask is to say, are we developing systems that are benefiting people? Because we can see in terms of the numbers here that infrastructure development is happening, but backlogs are increasing. Next slide, yeah. My third slide speaks to audit outcomes. There's a comparison between 2012 staging and the year that just ended, the 2013-14. There has been some improvement. I think the statement here on this slide is to say there has been some improvement in the Limpopo province. Just by looking at the second point there, in 2012 staging, we had 12 municipalities receiving the disclaimer. In 13-14, we now have 6. If you go further down, you'll see that we didn't have any municipality in the province with unqualified opinion that has matters of emphasis, but in the 2013, there has been some improvement. So generally, there's some steady improvement that we're beginning to see that is happening in the province. Even though there's still challenges that we will talk about just now. The next slide talks about the status of the 2015 MTREF, Medium Term Revenue and Expenditure Framework. The slide, honorable members, distinguishes between budgets that are funded and budgets that were not funded at the point where councils tabled and adopted their budgets. What we're seeing there is that, again, there seem to be an improvement. If we can just zoom on the Limpopo side, with 30 municipalities, there were about 18 municipalities that tabled funded budgets and 9 that tabled unfunded budgets. Perhaps if I can just explain the difference between unfunded budgets and funded budgets. Here we're talking about an instance where a municipality would table in their council expenditure projections that they would say that they will be able to realistically collect the revenue. This would be funded budgets. And the opposite would be unfunded budgets, which says that the municipality is having expenditure projections that will not be able to collect. Basically, what the challenge with that is that you could have a municipality having cash flow challenges later on, and there's always a risk of tapping into the grant if they are not able to collect on the basis of what they've adopted in council. I'm now going to zoom into the third quarter performance in terms of Section 71 result of the Municipal Finance Management Act, which was published up to the 31st of March. The table talks about it reflects the national picture and the 9 provinces. And on the left hand side, we can see revenue collections, expenditure patterns, how much provinces are spending on salaries and wages, their CAPEX, capital expenditure, conditional grant spending patterns and also their debt level together with their creditors. What we are reading from this picture is that from the revenue projections of Limpopo 9 billion, as at the 31st of March, 7.3 billion was reported spent. Of that 2.9 billion was reported as a budget for salaries and wages. 1.9 is capex. 1.8 billion is reflected under the conditional grant spending. So what we're seeing here, just to compare with similar provinces, Free State and Mpumalanga, you will see that there's almost a very similar pattern in terms of performance. But what is very interesting is in the Limpopo province, their debt level is 2.9, while Mpumalanga is showing 6.9. So one can begin to argue that if this money is not going to be collected, there could be pressures on the conditional grant just for Limpopo, just for Mpumalanga and Limpopo there. Especially if you also look at their creditors, 1.2 billion was reflected there for Limpopo. Next slide, yeah. This slide, honourable members, talks to the operational budget as adjusted. It looks into the capital budget, and of course, as a summarised version, the conditional grant. What it says is that as at the 31st of March 2014-15, 65.7% was reported as spent against the 279 billion. In terms of capex, 45.9%, and on conditional grant, 59.40%. Now, what is, I think the main issue here is to say Limpopo is operating below the national average. If you can see, in fact, Limpopo is the lowest, either in terms of operational budget or capex, even with the conditional grant. They are followed very closely by Mpumalanga and perhaps their performance is below the national picture. If I can request honourable members and colleagues to go back to the handouts because the slide is quite small. This slide talks to it zooms into the conditional grant per type. It looks into what we allocate to municipalities during the course of the year. The first column talks about what has been allocated directly to municipalities. And the second column looks into a share of Limpopo province in terms of the conditional grant. And of course, then thereafter it talks into the performance. What we are reading from this slide, if I can request to look at the last item, which is the municipal infrastructure grant. This grant has been allocated through the Division of Revenue Act, 14.7 billion, of which 2.76 billion has been allocated to the Limpopo province. Now, that amount takes about 19% of the national picture. So therefore, 19% of MIG goes to Limpopo province. At this time, 31st March, 49% was reported as spent. Again, we think that because it's the third quarter of the municipal year, perhaps 49% is not necessary. It's less than desirable. We would like to see them operating slightly higher, at least around 55-60% if they are struggling, because this would be the three, it would be up to the ninth month of the municipal financial year. Can I take it to the next slide? This is the summary of the picture that I was talking about. I think let me also ask you to look into the booklet or the printout. What we're saying here as National Treasury, we are saying that 59% performance within the Limpopo province, though is reasonable, we are beginning to be worried, especially if we see that 33% of their performance is linked to operational expenditure. We are worried that there could be inefficiencies there. The second bullet, there has been historical trend in terms of slowness of eradicating backlogs. And we are saying that if we are spending around below the national average, we need to all be worried, just to see are we beginning to achieve what we intend to achieve. What is greatly worrying, also Honorable Chair, is that there has been a reliance by municipalities to focus mainly on grants that they receive. The challenge with conditional grants is that they are conditional. As long as you receive grants and rely on them, there would be conditions and you would be subjected to those conditions for you to grow your economy. In the 2013-14, National Treasury approved a rollover of 755 million from a rollover request of 1 billion for the province. As at the 31st of March, 42% was reported as spent. Now you have a challenge, Honorable Chair, to be saying that you're having less than 50% spending on the current allocations, money 14-15, but you also have the element of the rollover that is also not moving as much as we would like to. When we receive rollover requests from municipalities, one of the argument municipalities pose forward is that this money is already as good as spent. So if you don't approve, you are really going to frustrate our process. But if you see 9 months into the financial year, half of that money hasn't been spent, you begin to worry what was submitted as a rollover request. Perhaps it calls for all of us to begin to look closely into the rollover requests. In terms of the debt level, 82% of the debtors is reported as outstanding for more than 90 days. This talks to the collection, the ability to collect, or perhaps could this be a result of poor implementation of the debt management or credit control measures. In my earlier slide, I've indicated that 2.9 billion is reported as total debtors for the province. Now, 2.9 of that, 2.4 of the 2.9 is more than 90 days. So perhaps this talks to the debt collection policy. And of course, 51% of creditors is also outstanding for more than 90 days. We are, however, concerned that we need to also look into the credibility of the information that we receive from municipalities. Could that be an issue here? My next slide talks, I think now I'm going to zoom closely into the Municipal Infrastructure Grant as a program. During the 2014-15, the National Treasury invoked or implemented Section 19 of the Division of Revenue Act. That section says that the National Treasury may, at its own discretion or at the request of the transferring national officer, consider stopping and reallocating the grant that has shown significant underperformance and reallocate those monies to municipalities that are spending better. During that course, it was in January, Treasury looked into a 40% process by saying that every municipality that would have reflected less than 40% at the time would be subjected to that process of stopping. Ultimately, we have stopped and relocated about 956 million from the MIG allocation. In the Limpopo province, 8 municipalities were affected by this process. They therefore lost part of their MIG allocation during the 2014-15 financial year. From that money, which is 956 million, 529.7 million were stopped in Limpopo. So you can argue that more than 50% of the stopped money was in Limpopo. If we look at the graphs there, it shows the split of the 529 million. It says that from that 224 million was reallocated within the Limpopo province, meaning there were meaning of the 529, 50% of that money could be reallocated within the province. Unfortunately, the rest had to be allocated outside the province. We had requested that any municipality that would like to receive additional funding, they need to express their interest by showing a better performance so that we don't give them additional money whilst they are underperforming. Again, the table just shows how much has the Limpopo province lost in the context of other provinces. Clearly, as you can see, can I, Chairperson, use the word the biggest loser here? You would see that it would have been the Limpopo province in terms of MIG as a program. Next slide. The table, if I can ask you to go to the extract again, just shows in a nutshell who has received additional funding in the province and who has lost money in terms of this process of Section 19. It's important to note that Mubani as a district has lost 290 million of MIG from the allocation of 429. They were left with only 139 for the year of 14-15. The next biggest municipality to have lost money is Sekhukhune District, 170 million. From the half a billion allocation, they were left with 281. But I will not go through the table because later on I'm talking about the specific municipalities that have lost this MIG money. During the 2014-15 chair, again Mubani was allocated 429 million. We have been working with the district for about 3 to 4 years on a can I say month to month basis, together with the provincial coctor and the provincial treasury around the challenges in the province. If I can just zoom closely to the challenges, the municipality has been having problems to spend MIG. Part of it was the issue of cash. We would realize through our monitoring that the unspent MIG in the municipality is as a result of cash having used for other things. This was picked up when we received a rollover request from the municipality, and upon our consideration, we would ask whether you have the cash that you would like us to permit you to roll over, and the money was not cash backed, and therefore we had to then request the municipality to pay back. In the 2013 and 14, a total amount of 210 million, of which 200 million was MIG, was offset against the municipality's equitable share because this money could not be cash backed. Upon that, we entered into an agreement with the municipality so they can pay this money over a period of time, whilst we allow them to still operate. The Division of Revenue Act allows that the municipality can do that so that they can still operate even if they have got to still deal with their challenges. We think that there were governance issues within the municipality because for about 4 years the municipality did not have a permanent CFO. It operated from, they had acting CFOs for that period at the very most. Also, in terms of compliance issues, the annual financial statement would be submitted late. This would really, compromise both the work of the AG and the work of the Treasury, because we use the annual financial statement to make our determinations. Next slide. In order to assist the municipality, the following transpired. The new executive mayor came through to the National Treasury, where we undertook to work with the municipality very closely to the point of a month-to-month process. She has managed to, in terms of her report, to get the MM suspended on issues of irregularities. They have since appointed a forensic investigation that has been doing work in the municipality just to ensure that some of the money we get clarity on what has actually happened when the money could not be cash backed. And we continue to work with the municipality, and they report regularly. The last engagement we had with them was about 4 weeks ago, where the executive mayor and about four council members came to the Treasury just to report on some of the challenges that they are facing. A task team also was established about 3 years ago, where we're working together with the Provincial Treasury, MISA and COXA, just to ensure that we could monitor very closely what was happening with the new money. What happened is that even if you would have stopped MIG money in the previous year, in the new year there would be new MIG money. So this task team was to ensure that as and when money gets released, Provincial COXA can appease us to say indeed this money that you are releasing is going to the project that we know about. So this was mainly the objective of the committee, just to ensure that we don't suffocate the municipality going forward on the basis of governance issues. We have also assisted the municipality with the financial advisor, who is currently situated in the municipality and is assisting the budget and treasury office of the municipality on day-to-day issues. Also, the Provincial Treasurer has seconded an official who is currently operating as acting MM following the suspension of the municipal manager. There have also been other actions that the Treasury, together with the team, have been doing to support the municipality: the issue of the recovery plan, the issues of the repayment arrangement, And also as part of our annual budget assessment process, we've reiterated to the municipality that it's important to table a surplus budget by cutting some of the expenditure items. Also, the last point, we have also assisted the municipality in funding the forensic investigation that they've asked, that the executive mayor has requested support on. The next municipality of the eight, this is the second one of the eight that has lost money, is Arana Municipality. This is a municipality that is generally doing very well. In fact, their 2013-14 audit opinion is an outstanding one. It is the only one in the province. They were moving slow in the current 14-15 financial year in terms of their MIG performance. We have stopped from them 5 million. This is a position that they've agreed on because they did not have the project that talks to that amount. Therefore, they had agreed to surrender the funding that it can be used elsewhere. Perhaps if I can just quickly explain the stopping process. This is a DORA process that is never meant to permanently take money away from municipality. It's a process that manages in-year financial flows to say, if we have allocated 5 million within a year, we would like that to be spent during that year. And if a municipality is not ready to spend that money, it is important that we let go and give municipalities that are able to spend. So what is then very important is that we need to then, as Treasury and other stakeholders, culture, to find a way to bring back that money when the municipality, the affected municipalities are ready and willing to spend their MIG money. So we need to do that all going forward. The third municipality is Tabazimbi, which is located on the southwestern side of the province. They had an allocation of 32.9 million. They also had a rollover of 13.2 million. We have stopped about 19.8 million because there were no projects that were linked to that amount. As at the 31st of March, 64% was reflected against the revised allocation there. So this tells you that if we didn't stop the 19 million, the performance at the time would actually be much lower at the time. The municipality had an unspent amount of 16.8 million in the 2013-14. This is additional to the certain rollover. So even if we rolled over 7.2 million, they still had unspent that they lost of 16.8 million. They also had outstanding creditors of 92 million that were more than 90 days. They have entered into a repayment arrangement with their creditors just to ensure that they settle that amount going forward. Our concern there is that with shortage of cash, the MIG could be abused there by the municipality. The fourth municipality is Lephalale. Their MIG allocation at the beginning of 2014-15 was 35.9 million. They had an additional rollover of 3.5 million, which brings them to close to 40 million to spend during the year. We have stopped 7 million because at the time when we implemented the decision, the equivalent amount was not linked to service providers. In other words, they had not yet appointed service providers to deliver. The Division of Revenue Act provides that 8 months before the start of the financial year, the municipality should be ready, or they should start process of appointing and to to ensure that when the July month kicks in, implementation can start. Now, if you have 9 months into the financial year, service providers haven't been appointed, it is very difficult to believe that money could be spent 3 months down the line, except if they are quick wins project. The fifth municipality is Modimolle Nelstrom. They had an allocation of 32.4 million. There was a rollover of 23.3 million, which then adds to their 14-15 money to be around 50 million. We stopped around 13.4 million of their meat allocation. Honorable Chair, what we did there, it's something that we also did with Francis Barth in the Eastern Cape. We then engaged the district because we believe that the district had historically a very good BTO. We engaged the district to say, instead of the local municipality losing the money, are you willing to assist them to take over the money? We therefore agreed to stop the 13.4 million and reallocate it to their district water bank. The process was spearheaded by the province, both provincial treasury and provincial COCTA, in terms of the issues around the SLAs and just to ensure that relevant projects are linked to this money. There's an issue around compliance that would need to be looked at there before the money can move. As we speak, there's been much improvement by the municipality, and the New Year's allocation is now moving swiftly to the Modimolle municipality as a result of this arrangement. The sixth municipality is Mogalakwena, Potgietersrus. 138 million was allocated to the municipality under the MIG program. 25 million was stopped. The implementation indicated that the allocated funds will not be spent due to inactivity at the municipality at the time. Colleagues would have, and honorable members would have seen perhaps in the news some of the activities that were happening at the municipality that affected the MIG program on the ground. At the time of stopping, or at the end of the 1st March 2015, 28% was regarded as expenditure from the revised amount. So therefore, again, it's similar to the previous municipality, that expenditure could have been lower if we had not stopped the money. Challenges: over the years, the municipality has struggled to spend the MIG program. So there's sort of a historical trend to not be able to finish all MIG allocation. In the 13-14, we had stopped about 83 million, and due to delays in the municipality. If you have litigations, even if you want to spend, you would still not be able to spend due to a court order. Supply chain management challenges, and issues of alleged fraud and corruption, and of course, basically, they were the municipality were not stable at the time, and it was perhaps best that we safeguarded some of the money and rather reallocated it to fast-spending municipalities. The seventh municipality is Vetakgom Municipality, which is on the eastern side of the province, under the Sekhukhune district. 21.4 million was allocated to MIG. We've stopped half of that. Non-procurement of service providers was the cause to our stopping. This, we think that we have protected MIG money and reallocated to fast spending municipalities and having to avoid later on issues of rollovers. at the end of the third quarter, 29% of the revised or the adjusted allocation of 11 million was spent. So if you really think about it, you'll realize that it would have been, the percentage spend would have been much lower if we had not taken some of the money. My almost last slide, Skukuni District Municipality, 451 million was allocated to the municipality during the 14-15 financial year. About 80 million was rolled over for this municipality, which adds to what they were allocated during the year. We stopped about 170 million during the course of the year. And in terms of the implementation plan and Chairperson, the COCTA presentation would perhaps talk much about issues around implementation plan. We realize that they will not be able to spend the entire amount. And at the end of the third quarter, 31st March, 34% spending was realized from the revised 281 million. So one can argue that we've not really punished the municipality, because even if we still stopped, the municipality still having surplus money to take them until June. During the course of the financial year, we had offset about 81.9 million. Now, if you can contextualize this point, is that the municipality had a rollover of 28 million from 1314. This rollover is a result of unspent money from 1314. Additional to that, we took 81 million money from 1314. So actually 160 million was not spent from the previous year for Sikukuni municipality, because part of it was rolled over and part of it was not rolled over. Of course, these are a result of challenges in the municipality. 15 projects were, in terms of the report that we've received, 15 projects were regularly awarded while the municipal manager was on leave. Upon her return, she stopped all projects and initiated a forensic investigation, which has established the following, that the process of appointing contractors were done unlawfully, and the supply chain management processes were flawed. For example, issues of bid evaluation process not being completed, preferential points awarded to bidders, and so on and so forth. Therefore, the municipal manager felt that it would be best that she protected the MIC under her leadership, and requested the Treasury through our Office of the Accountant General to terminate all projects and reappoint. The Treasury has supported her in that regard, and we're currently working with them closely. They are beginning to appoint so that they can move swiftly. Next slide, yeah. This is the previous year's performance. This is a year before 2014-15. In terms of what has happened to the conditional grants, then due to the nature of municipalities, for the fact that their year starts in July and ends in June, slightly not the same with national government, and the fact that they are on accrual, the process of verifying unspent grants always lags a bit in terms of the timing issue. Because their year, whilst our year as national government would have ended in March, their year would end in June, and their accrual system of accounting kicks in and it takes time. So, and therefore, the unspent versus rollover process gets delayed a bit in terms of that timing. Now, what we read here is that at the end of the 2013-14, the Limpopo municipalities had spent about 79%, which is 2.9 billion of their 3.4 billion, which was allocated to them. In there, the municipality had a rollover request, and I think I spoke about this issue of 1.1 billion. We've approved 755 billion, of which half of that was reported as spent. So clearly there was a lot of money to the tune of 1.1 billion for MIG that was not spent in the 2013-14 financial year. Out of that, 386 million was offset, and of course the rollover of 755 is being reviewed currently. We know that at the time of the 31st March, half of that was spent, so we just hope that the rollover would be spent in full, so that they will not lose that. Because in terms of the treasury regulation, we're not supposed to approve rollover of a rollover. But part of this money that was offset, not all of it was taken from the municipality. Municipalities came to the treasury and saying we will not be able to pay back this money. They suggest that the money is not there. Would rather like to pay it over a period of time as and when we, you know, collect and rearrange our finances. Opportunities were awarded to municipalities to repay over a period of time. My last slide before I'm going to hand over to my boss, Jan Hatten. Just in summary, key financial management challenges that we think are facing the province in terms of their municipalities. We think that there need to be a concerted effort to appoint qualified staff. There's an issue of high staff turnover in the budget and treasury office. Poor financial controls and record keeping. This we easily pick it up when we conduct our rollover process or our unspent verification process in terms of DORA, where the municipalities are not able to explain what happened to the money. If they could be able to just explain their bank balance there. Poor infrastructure planning and project management. Again, if you have a municipality that 9 months into the financial year still hasn't appointed, so clearly there could be issues there. In terms of the numbers, we think that there may be poor maintenance of indigenous register. In my earlier slides, you would have seen that backlogs in most districts were increasing. Now, the question perhaps would be to say, are these new backlogs, post-1994 backlogs, or is it the issue of the indigenous policy now being updated and begin to reflect the real issues? And of course, my last point, general lack of adherence to existing policies and procedures, ACM issues, we are picking them up as we do our monitoring. Thanks, Chair. I'm going to hand over to Jan Hatten for recommendations.
Thanks, Chair. Again, the recommendations is for a committee to consider, Chair. Essentially, what we are saying in Limpopo is that we feel that the political oversight from the Executive Council in the province needs a serious improvement. We are very excited that the MEC of Finance is now back in his new capacity. We've worked with him in his previous portfolio, so we're very confident that this is going to change quite radically. Chair, linked to some of the challenges in this performance is stability. And unfortunately, what happened in the province, and I know this is a very sensitive point, but about 6 to 8 months ago, 19 of the mayors were replaced or recalled, if that's the right terminology. And it should not be a surprise to anybody, 19. New leadership, and you cannot operate in an environment where there's not sustainability and predictability, and that is proper leadership. So we think that could be a reason that has contributed. Secondly, Chair, I think the committee will hopefully agree that the Treasury must be much more stronger on rollovers, because we've been too kind to approve rollovers, and then we're actually setting up those municipalities, institutions, for not being able to spend the current year's allocation that's been appropriated by this House. So, Chair, I think perhaps that's something that Treasury should consider to be a bit more tighter on approving any rollover. And, Chairperson, the last point, I think, if we do not equip the technical people to help us to put projects together and to see the logical conclusion, I don't think we do justice to the people in Limpopo. Because if you look at the accumulated amount that the province has lost because of inefficiencies, mismanagement, instability, all those things, then the community in Limpopo has actually been disadvantaged. So from a political perspective, our former minister has challenged us and said we must find a way in which the money must go back to the people of Limpopo, but then we must safeguard the funding, and the two departments that will present after, in our opinion, has got a key role to play to help us to facilitate that change. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John, for concluding for that recommendations. And thanks to Mr. Mashaba for the presentation. Honorable members, I will request that we go directly to the provincial presentation by the MEC so that it reflects on these issues, discusses the issues that also National Treasury has flagged that they constitute serious problem. And you can see the trend, the historical trend not to utilize all allocated funds of the MIG is quite a challenge. So MEC, can I allow you to lead us on the province and your own assessment of the situation? Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we will do it in two ways. We will ask COSTA to give a presentation, but to sort of wrap it up more or less, considering the very well-covered presentation made by National Treasury, and then we will make a presentation on our intentions and how we believe that we should come over and implement the appropriate way that we should manage our municipalities going forward. I think the exciting thing is that we are in the process of appointing 13 additional MFMA managers in Treasury that will be doing a lot of work on the ground in these municipalities. And we have in our intergovernmental forum that is chaired by the Premier, have stated the very strict and robust ways of any municipality getting a rollover. One issue, Chairperson, is that if a municipality wants a rollover, they have to have cash in the bank. And we often have that challenge where the municipality has no cash in the bank, so that obviously the risk is if we give them a rollover, they use it for other things besides MIG. So if we could ask the acting head of COSTA to give us a brief overview of the municipalities, and then we'll go into our interventions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks. Let me see. Can I allow is it the head or the acting head of COSTA? The acting head. Okay. Thanks so much. I didn't get your name, Daddy.
It's Gregory Makoko.
Thanks, Daddy Makoko. Can proceed.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Unfortunately, there have been some challenges with our secretariat in terms of loading the presentation, but we can take you through the hard copies if the Chair allows us.
Yes, we can proceed on the hard copies.
Thanks. Yeah, in terms of the presentation, we've actually indicated the expenditure trends and also progress per project as requested, but also the challenges that we have actually experienced with the municipalities, and also the support interventions that we actually try to implement together with Provincial Treasurer. In terms of expenditure, the slide on trends starting from the previous years, there have been some challenges that if you see at that particular graph, there have been some decline, but there was an improvement in 2013-14. But also, there was a decline again in 2014-15. Then in terms of the spending patterns, what we have actually given here is expenses by the end of June, not less by the end of March, which was actually showing that by the end of June, the municipality actually spent 73% of what was actually allocated and remained with 73 million that was not spent. And in terms of the municipalities, on slide 5, we have 6 municipalities that managed to spend 100% of the allocation, and 6 municipalities spent between 90 and 100%. And in terms of the, I'll not talk to the slide on national comparison with other provinces, but I'll go straight to expenditure per district. Because the presentation from Treasury, I think, has already alluded to the expenditures by end of March, but for Skukunes, I alluded there, it's actually showing under expenditure in terms of the district itself. The municipality that managed to spend more in Skukune was Petahomu, Makurutamaha, and also Ifrai Mohale. The district itself and Greater Duwazi, Petahomu did not do well in terms of the expenditures indicated there. For Mopani as well, the district that was reported by Treasury did not actually spend well. They only spent 34% of the budget as by the end of June. Greater municipality managed to spend 100%, Greater Letaba 78%, Greater Zani 61%, Rapalabora 85%, and Maruleng 84%. For Vembe as well, there were challenges in the district, but if you look at the slide there on 9, that Musina managed to spend 90%, Mutade 100%, the lowest was the Makadu municipality, and also Vembe district as a municipality, where also there were challenges around the spending of MIG, but also there were challenges around stability within the Vembe district, but in terms of governance, the MM there actually resigned, so we have, as a department of COX, so we've actually seconded the general manager to act as an MM to make sure that there's stability in Vembe district. And in terms of Kedricon, the Bloomberg managed to spend 79%, Aranang 68%, Mole Mole 99%, Polokwane 99%. The lowest spending was Lebelle Mkumbi municipality, where also coincidentally also the MM is still on suspension. And as a department, we are also trying to intervene to make sure that there's stability in terms of Lebelle Mkumbi municipality. As the Department of Coastal, we have seconded the senior official to act as an MM to turn around things within Lebelle municipality. Capricorn, they've managed to spend 100%. For Waterberg, the lowest spending was Tabazimbi, where also there were challenges around governance. The MM and the CFO are still on suspension. It's almost more than a year now. And as a department of COX are together with Treasury, we are trying to intervene to make sure that we bring stability within Tabazimbi municipality. Then Lephalale, they've managed to spend 99%, Mokgopong 36%. Mudimula 100%, Belavela 100%, Mohalak with 52%. And as reported by Treasury, Mohalak and all had challenges in terms of stability. But now as COXSTAR, we have seconded an official to act as an MM. The municipal manager who was there, employed by the municipality, was actually fired following disciplinary processes. And in terms of the lead political leadership, the ruling party has actually, or the municipality has actually appointed a new mayor within Mwalakwena municipality. And for now, I think there's a sense of stability, and we believe that there will be some progress in terms of expenditure. And on overall, as a province, like I've already reported, on slide 12, we have spent 72%, and the slide there is actually showing trends per district. As Skukune has indicated, we have got challenges, and that is a district where there's not much development in the service delivery backlogs within Skukune, Mopani, and Vembe as well. And Waterberg, we had challenges as indicated. The challenge there was more especially in Tabazimbi, where there also had challenges in terms of paying Eskom the money that we owe in terms of electricity. Honorable Chair, we also requested to give status report in terms of the various projects. We have actually indicated the summary slide on slide 14, in terms of the number of projects that were implemented during the financial year 14-15, where the total of 367 projects that were implemented by the various municipalities, and that's at the end of the financial year. These projects were at various stages of implementation. 62 were tender evaluation planning, 219 were at various stages in terms of construction, 86 were actually completed. And in terms of the next slides, we're actually showing the information per municipality in terms of the number of projects and their stages. And we'll start with the Skukune district, which is actually showing a total of 67 projects. 10 were tender in design stage, 35 were construction, 22 were completed. Mopani was a total of 65 projects, 16 were tender, design and tender, 41 were at construction, and 8 were completed. And with district municipality itself, there were various challenges as indicated in terms of the delays and the challenges around the cash flow and the usage of MIG. For Vembe, we had 45 projects, 3 were at design and tender stage, 31 at construction, 11 were completed. And for Capricorn, we have 137 projects, 22 at design and tender, 78 at construction, 67 completed. For Waterberg, we had the lowest that were actually completed. We had 53 projects, 11 at design and tender, 34 at construction, and 8 completed. And I'll not deal much with the slide on the various grants. I'll go straight to the next ones in terms of the major infrastructure projects that we used to actually implement MIG. We've actually indicated the issue around provision of water, the issue around provision of electricity. I'll not go into details around that, but also indicating the challenges that were there. I don't need to repeat what National Treasury has actually reported in terms of the general challenges, but as a province, we've noted those challenges. And the MEC responsible for local government has actually interacted with the various mayors and the municipal managers to actually get some ways in terms of saying how best can we then improve the expenditure in terms of the MIG. And in terms of the support interventions, together with provincial treasurer Coxter, the two MECs have actually designed some strategies to make sure that we are able to improve moving forward in terms of improving expenditure. I'll then hand over to the DDG responsible for budget in the provincial treasurer, Mr. Fukunzi, to actually take us through the intervention that we've agreed as COXTA, if you allow me, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members. I'll be going through the interventions here, given the current picture in Limpopo and what is that we are doing to try and correct the situation there. Again, as the Treasury, we do meet with municipalities regularly, more around their midterm spending as municipalities, and also as we also do benchmarks and assess their budgets. And some of these corrective measures are coming from those engagements that we normally have with municipalities in the province now recently. And again, National Treasury on the other side, they have started also in the intergovernmental team to look into infrastructure as well, not only financial management issues in municipalities. And I'll be talking only here to infrastructure. To say that as the province, we have seen as visible that we have to coordinate ourselves, but again, the province, in terms of the intergovernmental relations, playing a role as well in trying to coordinate municipal infrastructure spending in Limpopo. That on slide 25 there, we have the scope, and the primary objective is that as the province will want to establish municipal infrastructure forums, at least for now, three of them in the province, to ensure that we are able to talk to all colleagues who are in the built environment, who are dealing with infrastructure, our technical directors and the colleagues. And I think as we proceed, maybe supply chain management as well will come on board. But on slide 25, just quickly to summarize that slide, is that we'll want to see municipalities being able to sit together and coordinate themselves at the district level. I think the next slide will actually show that in terms of how we'll want to deal with that. And again, to have a district and municipal infrastructure forum. We have this type of a forum that is led by COGSTAR in different districts around MIG. But what we'll want to do here is also to revisit the terms of reference of this forum that is now in existence and to align it more around infrastructure planning issues. As we know that currently we have the infrastructure delivery management system, the IDMS, at the provincial level. And as we have provincialized this IDMS, we'll want to do the same also at the municipal level, because it looks more around infrastructure planning in terms of when you identify and you even go on tender and you construct and also close the project. So that is one area that we'll want to institutionalize in our municipalities as well. But what is key, again, is the Limpopo Intergovernmental Infrastructure Forum. That into it will have a district municipal infrastructure forum, and also at the provincial level we have the Infrastructure Technical Management Committee, whereby we sit with all departments and look into infrastructure planning and report to heads of departments and also to the MECs as well and the premier at the provincial level. But we'll want to also bring in our municipalities to encourage integrated planning. But then the overall goal here is more around looking into infrastructure, but mostly to build capacity in our municipalities, more into the financial management issues and the built environment. What we have seen also, which is a problem, is more around issues of specialized skills that we don't have there in the province. But we're saying as we sit together and exchange ideas, we'll be able to come up with a way of attracting people with technical abilities, more on infrastructure and the built environment. On the next slide, which is slide 26, it shows, I'm not sure if it will be that clear, it's more around how we'll want to work from the bottom down up, that we'll want to see this project being delivered at a district level where all municipalities will be coordinated by the district and all the municipalities in a specific district will deal with infrastructure issues and the project. Because what we have seen is that as we engage in our budget assessment meetings and bilateral meetings with municipalities, it's very difficult to understand where we are in terms of infrastructure planning. I think these issues were presented now by National Treasury to say the leads are either late and hence were confronted by rollovers and so on. But what is key is when are these projects registered and also given over to either COGSTAR or also the national department that is responsible. So it is at that level. It will move then towards district municipalities, where COGSTAR will then be sitting also there. But then currently, as Treasury, we're also not part of this processes, and we'll want to come in and work with Treasury and MISA as well, but more around trying to build capacity, and not only for now, but also for the future to ensure that there is actually the stability there and consistency in terms of spending on infrastructure in the province. And in terms of this, as we see it coming in, moving forward, is that at our level, it will be more at a project management, but it will also move to the level of management in terms of portfolio. What is that is expected by our superiors around infrastructure delivery as we implement, whether what we are doing on the provincial side is actually talking to what is also coming up at the municipal field. So these discussions must be in such a way that they even meet at the forum of heads of departments where HODs are sitting, and where possible, I think the MMs of our district will also be part of that discussion at the infrastructure technical committee. Before we started with this and looking into how sensitive the matter is, more on municipalities all the time trying to be on their own, we looked also on issues of opportunities whereby there is a political support that is actually coming in to help us to work with our municipalities to improve spending. On slide 27, we have now the secondary objectives there. I think I touched on some of them, but the issue here in the province is that we cannot keep on returning money to national when there is backlogs that are actually accumulating year after year, and retaining to national either half of a billion is actually a lot of money that can bring some economic spin-off to the province and create jobs and put bread on the table of those that are actually in need of this money. So hence we are saying we have to look into this and ensure that as the province, we are able to spend on a MIG funding. Then the problem here again is that we have to be aware of the type of projects, because we also have the Limpopo Development Plan, whereby we have to try and link our infrastructure towards our provincial and also the national plans there. Again, here in terms of this forums, we'll be calling our municipalities to these meetings. I mean, it's happening now. We are talking to our CFOs. They come to the CFO forums, and we are able to see where there are gaps in our CFO forums, either around issues of financial management, supply chain management, and so on. But we believe as we bring all our municipalities under one roof, and we have terms of reference in terms of the report that has to be presented, we'll be able to see where there are gaps, where municipalities don't really have people in the built environment or colleagues who are able to do this type of work. We'll have to intervene and see how do we then group these teams together. On slide 29, we have the approach there in terms of the program is unique in that it supports the capacitation, specialist care skills, exchange collaboration, and acquisitions in two ways. Firstly, institutionally, in terms of strengthening the ability of the municipal finance officials in provincial treasury so that they can be able to work with the colleagues in municipalities. As I mentioned, we are working with National Treasury. National Treasury has developed a generic organizational structure for treasury, and we are saying this is an opportunity because it also covers infrastructure. To say as treasury ourselves, we have to reposition ourselves and assist the municipalities the same way as we are working with the department and the Department of Public Works in the province. So that is more around the approach in terms of phase one. Phase two, I have touched on that to say that it will be the second phase in trying to link what we are doing at the municipal level and to what we are doing also at the provincial level. Because we'll want to see all these projects that we are performing or that we are implementing as the province being announced by the Premier also in the state of the province address. Not only those that are implemented on the provincial side, but how do we also look into the municipal sphere and ensure that there is implementation of all these projects. But what is key here, it will be around capacitation, because these meetings will not only talk infrastructure, but again, how do we go about in building capacity around implementation of projects, so that we can know that supply chain management of infrastructure is not the same as when you buy stationery. It needs a specialized skill, more that you have to ensure that you start much more earlier. As we have seen in our presentation where we talk about the tender, those that are in tender stage, you'll find that there are more than 12 million, 20 million. But when you are at that level, you know that you must be at least at a million or 2 million budget, as you'll be releasing money for implementation. So how do we deal with all those bottlenecks? But what is key is monitoring and reporting, because we must have a reporting template in terms of how you report on infrastructure around the status of the project and what you have spent, and also if there are any problems around the implementation of this project. So this work that we'll want to do or implement is more in trying to see how we can better the situation as it presented by National Treasury in their presentation there. Skills transfer on slide 32, I think we've touched on that as well, to say how do we ensure that as we sit together, we also build all the necessary capacity. But what we have seen working at the provincial level is that as you start to demand reports, those who are not able to produce the report, they slowly disappear. And in the process, maybe this can also happen at the municipal level, because the report has to come. We cannot just have forums that are not producing reports and actually trying to help us to be able to move there. There are a few slides I don't want to repeat. Maybe at the end there are some recommendations there on the slide before the thank you, that we'll want the Select Committee on Appropriation to note the spending on MIG as it was presented by the acting HOD and the progress on the project implementation, and that the challenges as well as the envisioned interventions by us and the department. And maybe just to share with the committee and the honourable members and the honourable chair that this proposal here, it was presented also at the technical committee on finance at our Lokhotla, where HODs of treasurers will sit at the technical level. I think Mr. Hatin will be aware of this, and we'll be presenting it also to the Budget Council Lokhotla this weekend in terms of how we'll want to better the situation moving forward. And surely, as time goes on, we'll come back and report to say this is how far we've actually moved in terms of all these proposals and what we're envisaging to do in the province. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kubunzi and Mr. Makoko. Let me see. You want to do the concluding?
Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Just to say that I think it's in our interest to spend this money and not send any money back to National Treasury. However, we've also got to take into consideration that it's another sphere of government, and the way that we manage this and the way that we intervene within this sphere of government has to be with a manner of respect and a manner of cooperative governance. We are very aware, with the amount of backlog that we do have, and considering the ruralness of Limpopo, it does make the management that much more dynamic. However, we do see that if we can implement this the way that we intend to implement it, and we see that there is intention on the side of municipalities, particularly our district municipalities, I think we can definitely improve the spending substantially. And yes, we look forward to going back to in the next 3 to 6 months to give you feedback on this method of ensuring that infrastructure spending is improved substantially in Limpopo. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, MEC.
much.
I know that members here are itching. They want to raise something. It's like the report is not very good, the meeting you can see, on the performance of the province. But, Councillor, can you comment?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Greetings to all other honourable members and National Treasurer, Provincial Treasurer, and COGSTAR. Honourable Chair, let me start by saying that as SALGA, we definitely concur with the two presentations that were made by National Treasurer and COGSTAR with regard to the state of affairs in Limpopo. And we have actually had engagements with municipalities on some of these issues for quite some time, supported by the MEC. We also had an energy workshop in Limpopo in 2013 in a bid to try and address some of these challenges that were alluded to. I want to comment on about three or four issues quickly without wasting your time. It's indeed true that one of the issues raised was with regard to the critical vacant positions that were not filled by most of our municipalities. I must say, Mr. Machava, it's unfortunate that when you came to this meeting, your report was not updated. The report that we got is that some of the municipalities that were mentioned in your report have already appointed chief finance officers and other critical positions. There are a number of issues that municipalities have raised as well. Not necessarily saying that they did not acknowledge the fact that they are not spending. One of the issues that they are raising is with regard to the approval of technical reports. You know, you would agree with me, Chairperson, that before you implement a water project, especially for water service authorities, you must get the approval of technical reports by the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation. This has been an issue. And in one of our engagements, the department did concede that they've got capacity challenges in dealing with the matter. And some of the issues that led to the disapproval of the technical reports were, small things that we can be able to resolve between the municipalities and the Department of Water Affairs. And we said to them in a meeting, but maybe the ideal situation would be that if there are those kind of challenges, maybe we should actually assign a technical team to meet the technical team of the municipality for them to resolve some of those issues. Unlike having to return the report back and say the report is not correct, the municipality will complete the report, send it back to WDS, they will say it's not correct. It takes time, and by the time the issue is resolved, the financial year is nearing its end, and I don't think it's assisting. Also from COGSTAR, the issue of the approval of projects, the registration of projects. There's no MIG project that we can be able to implement without it being registered by COGSTAR. And it's taken a lengthy period. We've been saying to COGSTAR, can you speed up the process? Can you assign, officials who will specifically deal with the registration of projects, because this is becoming a big problem. The question of political oversight, yes, it's indeed true. That even the Auditor General, when we were in this very same chamber, the Auditor General raised an issue with regards to the political oversight that is played by our politicians at local level, that we are not doing enough. And then I think that's one issue that we have set to municipalities that we need to ensure that the structures that are being oversight are actually focusing on MIG spending goals. That is one area where we are not doing very well. And I agree with you, Mr. Yassin, that one of the issues that might have led to some of these issues might be political changes in the province, although that number that we have mentioned is not really the number. The number of the mayors that were changed is actually nine in the past 2 years. Nine mayors were changed, and the entire political team was actually changed. I think the other issue which was raised by National Treasurer was with regards to consistency and the retention practice of our municipality. We are not in a position to retain people who are actually in very critical positions in municipalities precisely because of the new regulation on the appointment of senior managers. We have raised the issue here in the Chief's Forum, in the NCOP, we have raised that particular issue and said that we need the assistance of course, of this committee as well, to actually impress upon the minister that these are new regulations and sexually disadvantaging municipalities. We're not able to attract the best skilled personnel that we wanted for them to assist the municipalities, precisely because of that new regulation, the appointment of the Premier's ID Forum in Limpopo. The appointment of senior managers. It's a new regulation in terms of the remuneration packages. And as a result, when you put an accent and people see that particular accent, they are reluctant to apply, especially for positions like CFOs and other senior positions in municipalities. They are actually reluctant to apply. It's a challenge.
One of the issues
that was raised with regard to FOAD training is an issue that was resolved by the Premier's ICS, that the municipalities must actually do FOAD training, which means if you want to implement the president the next financial year, you must actually do the appointment of the consultant, the planning this financial year, so that come the next financial year, you start with the implementation, the advice and all the type of things. And that has not been coming forth with from our municipalities, and it's a challenge as well. I think the meeting that we held with the MEC, the rest of that we held with the MEC, we identified a number of challenges, and we actually came up with proposals in terms of dealing with some of these issues. One of the issues that we have identified was that although we are blaming politicians for not playing oversight, but as well we have a situation where some of the administrators who are actually appointed do not necessarily give the politicians the necessary information that they're supposed to get on a number of programs, including MIG spending. You find a situation where I think there's been alluded to by both Coxa and the National Treasurer. The supply chain process are taking too long, and when politicians complain, it will be viewed as interference. You are interfering in political and administrative work of the MM and his colleagues, and I think it's actually affecting us badly. The question of the creditors, I want to comment on that one. At one stage, National Treasurer took a resolution to say any municipality that is owing creditors, in particular ESCOM, will not get the equitable share up until they have made an arrangement to pay ESCOM, which was, of course, is a great move, although it's not informed by legislation. But let me tell you, when we met with the NCOP some 2 weeks ago, they raised the very same issue again. But what municipalities are also raising is with regard to debt owed to municipalities by departments, which is an issue that we have raised with a number of parliament structures. This committee, the NCOP, and so on and so on. But in Limpopo, as we are speaking now, we have a problem with Tabazimbi. The arrangement that they've made in ESCOM is not being honored. And ESCOM has said in the meeting last week that they might switch on off the entire Tabazimbi in weeks to come. And we've said there's a need for an urgent intervention to deal with some of these issues. Chairperson, I don't want to take much of your time in actually indicating the issues that we've raised with the MEC, and we've agreed that some of the challenges needed to be attended to as soon as possible. But I can just give you one example with regards to political oversight on MIG. We set politicians to take part in MIG performance meetings, which is very important, because if they take part in those kind of meetings, they will then be able to say, as politicians, we think we are not spending in line with the cycle, the MIG implementation cycle, and they'll then be able to actually offer assistance. But in most cases, we've got situations where they only participate when the report, Section 71 or Section 72 report, is actually presented to council, which is a challenge. We also talk about the early warning system on MIG. And we said Coxstam has actually championed a monthly PMU meetings to evaluate the MIG spending by the municipalities, so that where Coxa could be able to detect that the municipality will not be able to spend, then they can be able to say, this are the kind of interviews that are going to make to ensure that the municipality is able to actually spend going forward.
there were a number of issues that we have identified. We then we convened at MIG, an MIG forum, which was held a month ago, where we called all the stakeholders, provincial, essentially, COXPAR, Swanwu Water Foundation. We were all in that meeting. And we were saying what went wrong to the decision or the resolutions of the 2013 workshop. And in that meeting, we then agreed that we need to actually revisit those resolutions and start implementing them. When municipalities have got challenges, we must actually come in immediately and be able to assist. I think those are the few comments. I don't want to waste much of your time. I'm with my colleague, the provincial executive officer of the province. If I might have left anything, maybe you can, with your indulgence, allow him to make whatever decision that you want to make. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Honorable Councillor, for sharing with us this information. Let me first give the members this side so that there is really much on the plate. So, members, can you start with you, Honorable Mutashu Ping, Ms. Van Lingen, and then the Chair of the Finance Committee, Honorable Dibie. Then, yes. FFC, the chair of FFC is here, but I'll allow you to comment later. Thanks.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I see we are not...
Are you getting me, Mr. Mutashu Ping?
There's a lady there. I will come to them. I see how the presenters are constituted. So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, also the last slide. I'm making this comment because this month is very important. Now, I will not take much of your time, don't worry. Chairperson, let me start by welcoming the presentation. And see, they gave quite a picture that I never expected. The presentation doesn't speak so well about the province in terms of spending. And that is one thing that we must acknowledge. And one thing that comes to my mind is that if ever we had received such a presentation, then you would clearly agree that Section 100 intervention was very important and was key, and the reversal of it should have been clearly re-looked into that are we doing the correct thing by revisiting the intervention. Chairperson, I am not sure about the authenticity of the information that we have received. If you were listening to the councillor, disputing quite a number of things that we said in terms of statistics and all that, that I'm not sure if the authenticity of the reports that have been presented here is questionable, or they would then have to brief us on real issues and for the record, as we move from here, we are clarified about certain things that they've been alluded to. But one thing that, Councillor, you spoke about, if you look into the recommendations of National Treasurers, you see, political oversight does not necessarily mean your participation in a particular committee. There are council committees. Councillors do not only receive Section 71 reports. Committees of councillors meet, deliberate on issues prior to reports compiled. And I think that gives them quite, because if you look at the draft recommendation, it says agree that there should be proper political oversight with regard to in-year reporting prior to Section 71 reports. But one worrying factor, Chairperson, is the spending of municipalities to date. When you get into the third quarter and the spending is below 50%, and it's expected that at the end of the third quarter it should be at least 75%. Like you alluded to, that if they are underperforming, they should be at 60-65 at least. But that is also underperforming, they should be at 75, and no excuse. Your recommendations in addressing issues really here is that millions of money have been stopped. Millions have been stopped, and there has been quite a number of service delivery protests in that side of the country because of lack of proper service delivery. And millions are getting paid. You are not addressing, in terms of your recommendations, specific issues that would address specific municipalities, because I take it, challenges that face municipalities are unique in nature. The situation in Mogalakwena and in whatever municipality that we have mentioned may not be the same. So do you have a specific package that would address issues in that specific municipality without generalizing? Your recommendations also do not specifically speak to one area that was mentioned here. Does not address your recruitment strategy. Yes, it may be an excuse, but the regulations, blah, 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 blah. But the question at hand here is that are the people that we have in this post the relevant ones? Do they have the required qualifications to be occupying the positions in which they are currently? And you don't speak about your intended recruitment strategy. The last point that I want to mention, your audit outcome doesn't give me a wonderful picture. My expectation is at the same time that during the intervention you had brought a group of people with the necessary skills. And in your report that you presented now, after they have left the intervention team, does not give me an indication of at least one department, one municipality that has received a clean audit like that you anticipated. Because you must have laid the ground, a playing ground for those who would follow, just to follow suit, because there would be systems in place. I don't get that. And it's a worrying factor. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Honorable Fandia.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. We always complain that not enough of the national budget goes to local government. We always complain. But with grant funding supplementing the equitable share, I think as local government, we are certainly failing our people by not spending the money that's given to us. And I hear this morning that National Treasury must come on board, MISA must come on board, province must come on board, this one must come. My goodness, why are you in local government and local government is not doing what they're supposed to do? That's the problem. And I often look at MECs for local government for not fulfilling their proper mandate. And then not taking care of local government, because it's a serious issue. And I think the sooner we accept that there must be a stricter discipline on the management of local government. We are politically too scared to do what we have to do. And the minute we get over that, then we will do what must be done. Now, National Treasury is taking the reins by saying, you pay, you pay Eskom or you get into an agreement. We read several places here, yeah, those agreements were entered into and then they were cancelled again. But nothing there says we got into them again and they were reorganized or redrafted and they are now in operation. So I'm really very worried. Then on the National Treasury slide 5, there you referred, or you know, you show up that there are a number of unfunded budgets. And I'm absolutely shocked to see that half of the budgets in the Eastern Cape are not funded. And I would like to know, how come it happens? Is it a bloated budget? You know, bloated on the income side, and or is it poor revenue collection on own revenue, or is it just a lack of valuation roles that are not in place? I sometimes get the impression that local government is sitting back and they think somebody else must do what has to be done. Then in terms of slide 6, you talk about the various categories of expenditure, and it's interesting to see. I'd like to know the rollover amounts that they've applied for, and then also when does one get to the stage where municipalities can actually ask for access to more grant funding when they have a project pending? Do they go to provincial treasury? Do they go to provincial government? Where do you actually ask for more money? And I didn't see here in any case, in any example where the debtors of municipalities were addressed. It is, I don't see proper slide numbers with the, this is number 10, so it must be slide number 9 of National Treasury. Then, the rollovers I spoke about, the litigations on slide 16, the challenges there, and they refer to litigations against the municipality, challenges with governance and supply chain management challenges. I wondered how many cases there were against the municipalities. And then you also referred to that there's 8 months to appoint a service provider. And I'm not saying this is particularly the case in Limpopo, but in the Eastern Cape, it happens. And I want to know what action the province is taking to stop things like that and prevent things like that, and how they manage the things or the duties and functions that they are responsible for in terms of local government. On slide 19, tongue in the cheek, I read the first line, inappropriately qualified staff and high staff, and I wondered what they were smoking in Limpopo. The incident of, and it turned out to be when you read the statement, you said high turnover of staff. 19 mayors were recalled, and then the Salga representative said 9 mayors. Do we divide it by 2, add the 2 together and divide it by 2 to get the average, or was it a mayor that was appointed and recalled and appointed, reappointed and recalled? I'd like clarity on that, because in a way I actually listen to National Treasury. I don't think they would make accusations that they can't prove. And if it's 19 mayors, it means that it's 66%, which is very high. I must just say I have a problem with appointing project managers. Project managers are supposed to have a certain qualification. And if they're not registered project managers, they shouldn't be appointed for a job. And in that, they must have a qualification that they can lose a license for not performing their duties properly. And I need to know if that is being used in all provinces. As far, I don't see any depth explanation of how the municipalities owe Eskom or the water boards or the receiver of revenue or the province on Inatis, for instance, whether they owe the province monies. And the intergovernmental debt is a question. We don't see any of that unless I didn't read all the papers. And the Selga issue of forward planning in municipalities. That is exactly what should be happening in municipalities. It is not as though it's a new thing. It must happen. So I don't understand why it is an issue that should be driven by Selga, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe it's a good issue for them to take up in this financial year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honourable Panlige. Honourable Sharp.
Chairperson, this meeting of today is setting the road path that we must follow to engage with all nine provinces on this matter. Why? Because there's a presidential commission on infrastructure. It's another sphere. And we at this level will have to, not may, have to engage with each province to monitor what's going on as we got this diagnostic analysis this morning. This is analysis. That's point one. Secondly, Chairperson, we've heard about corrective actions and everything. Fine, brilliant. We need time frames linked to that. Then it becomes an action plan. I want to do the following, but I want to complete it then, and I've got this interface of monitoring and evaluation. That we call that an action plan. We'll hear that tomorrow again from Mr. Tom and the Treasury when we deal with Limpopo in terms of Section 101A's intervention. Chairperson, each councillor, each NM, each CFO should have this document. They call it the Division of Revenue. They must, not may, they must have it. Why? Because it explains the rules of expenditure about what we are dealing here in this meeting. Referring to page 178, there it stands, in the middle. And we repeated that sentence several times in previous meetings. So equip the councillors with this document that they understand the rules specific on spending of the MIG funding. But linked to that, it's not about spending, it's about spending plus performance equals what's the quality. Now, if I'm my mind serves me correct, Chairperson, there's a period given by the Minister of Cocktail, I think Treasury as well, Finance, that senior management in municipalities, including the MMs and CFOs, must get their qualifications in order until September 2015, if I'm correct, Mr. Hartman, you must please help me. How far is that process? Because that process influences what we're doing here. Because Chairperson, we'll have to monitor this on a quarterly basis. They will have to come back in the next quarter to come and reply. But what did we do in terms of our action plan that we tabled here today on the 11th of August? Excuse me. Capacity. Does the Provincial Department of Finance and COCTA in Limpopo have bomb bodies to do what you are telling us on paper? That's a very important point. Because they must exercise what you are telling us. Do we have enough of all bodies to do that job? Reports. How reliable is the reports that you get in that municipal infrastructure forum? The reliability of it, and then the quality. Salga, you mentioned challenges. What's your action plan to address it? We didn't hear that. And if you address it, how do you address it? How do you address it? Very crucial, chairperson. Link to this report we got here today, go hand in hand with the Auditor General's report on these municipalities. So the research unit will have to engage with those audit reports to get that picture as well, because we're going to Limpopo later. Which of these municipalities is in this municipal finance support program, or are all of them part of it? Maybe I've missed it. Chairperson, yes, I wrote a page and a half. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, we first let me indicate, we note the corrections that were made in the meeting, and I think it's factual correction. So it's almost a month since we sent an invite for this report to Treasury, to provinces. So there may be that factual. At the time when the reports were prepared, the factual correction is most welcome. Let me make that note. I think the province has raised two issues. The SALGA, in particular. SALGA raised the issue of registration of projects and the technical reports which delays on the issue of the construction management, the cycle which you used to present this. And if you raise them boldly, these are issues that you are saying that the committee must raise with relevant departments. Why these delays? In particular, why there's a delay for classification of projects. It is COXA, not National Department in this instance. That if you can shed some light, the Department of COXA, why it takes so long to registration of projects, really. Why is it a problem? But I think the basic issue is we really need to deal with this historical trend of underutilization of MIG funds. There is a problem, and we need to go to these underlying causes. And the Treasury recommendation summed up. The Treasury recommendation summed all this up. I think that's the crux of what will influence our oversight. When we go and visit the province, we'll have all of us, I think, will have without fail respond to these issues, because it raises very serious issues that has to be attended to. Chair of FFC, can you comment? And then I'll allow the province MEC will comment. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, now just a few observations. What I will do is I will send you soon after this, I'll send you a submission that we prepared on this particular issue. But I think one of the key things that we have observed is that because in terms of our approach, we don't look at just 1 year or 2 years. We just take a little bit of a longer term view of things to see what is happening. What we have picked up here in Limpopo is that the situation has been deteriorating since 2008. They were performing fairly decently, but it's deteriorating, and it's consistently deteriorating. If you move from 2008 to now, it's getting worse every year. That's what the numbers actually show you, which basically means that there is a deeper problem that needs to be addressed. And if we actually go back to those periods and see what it is that government has done at the level at where we operate, you would see that one of the biggest developments has been this MISA thing that was set up to deal with these technical types of issues that are being raised here as challenges that are being faced by the provinces. So it would probably be a very good idea to start also with them to see what it is that they are doing, because part of the understanding about MISA was that even the challenges that we have with the sector departments would then all be dealt with through that, and because it falls under DCOG, it then will have that coordinating the power to coordinate all the in terms of the cooperative governance, the intergovernmental relations aspects. So it's actually a very critical component of this municipal infrastructure grant process. Now, we have also, just looking at some of the issues that relate to the object is to roll out infrastructure for basic services and also to deal with the backlogs. Now, if you are rolling out infrastructure and they're spending on average around about 80%, it's bad now, it was higher in the past. And then you see that you're eliminating, you are rolling out new infrastructure consistently, but your backlogs or access to services not catching up with the rate at which you are eliminating the backlogs, that on the access to services side is a challenge. You must start asking questions about the appropriateness of the infrastructure that you are rolling out. Is that infrastructure actually working? Is it sustainable that you're rolling out? Because otherwise we'll just keep on adding and adding infrastructure, and we are not maintaining it. And one of the things that we have done is to dig down to check whether the infrastructure that has been rolled out is actually functional. Is it being maintained? Where you need to rehabilitate it is actually being rehabilitated. And part of the work that has been done, which tries to address to a very significant extent the issues around maintenance of infrastructure in provinces such as Limpopo, Eastern, the rural provinces, was the primary reason why the equitable share formula had to be reviewed, so that we actually get more money going into those rural provinces to allow them to maintain and sustain the infrastructure that they roll out through the grants. Now, so the argument around the rural nature of the province becomes a secondary one at this particular point in time. So there are issues that are deeper that need to be addressed. And I think maybe as I've said, Chair, I have a substantive input that I will give to you for purposes of your preparations when you go to the when you go for the oversight visit. Let me not bore you with some of the stories that have been raised here are stories that we are aware of. And part of the work that we are doing together with SALGA, DCOG, National Treasury is around reviewing this and some of the innovations that we will be tabling as proposals around this. I think at the rate at which we have these basic challenges that we can't deal with, might actually be a problem even for these municipalities to then respond, because they revolve around incentives. So we want to go beyond the incentivizing spending through withholding the money, because part of the reason why the money must be withheld or must be taken away and given to somebody else is to incentivize. And when you incentivize, when you take away the money, then you must have an automatic a system that basically then comes in and addresses the challenges that have resulted in that money being taken away. Now, when those are not working, then we will continue to have the problem. And whatever innovations we try to introduce in terms of putting in incentives in some of these things might actually be self-defeating. Let me stop there, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chair of FFC, Mr. Kumar. MEC and your team, do you want to comment? Issues raised,
I'll ask Mr. Makoga and Mr. Pukwansi to respond. was just an idea that we are aware of it, we are following it up as Treasury with regard to debt, particularly the issue of Eskom. In the IGFR with the Premier, we will be engaging with all municipalities come next week with regard to all the issues around debt. As far as our support with regards to infrastructure, National Treasury has given us two technical advisors. We are appointing additional technical advisors. We do have a infrastructure hub in the Department of Public Works in the province where we will be consistently getting skills from them, not necessarily skills, but the individuals that could assist with the build environment. So we do have a plan with regard to assisting the municipalities with skilled individuals. So we think we're pretty covered there. But again, I think as we proceed, we'll see where we need more technical skills. But so far, we are doing that. We're spending a substantial amount of our budget, our public works' budget, to headhunt and get particular individuals to come in and work in the province. Just on a light note, we do have a challenge. A lot of people don't necessarily want to come and stay in Limpopo. There are not many shining lights in Limpopo. We are very rural. So we have to offer quite a good package on to get people to get there. So, but that's how it is, essentially, when it comes to infrastructure. I'll ask my other colleagues to add. Thank you.
You love the shiny lights from Bloemfontein to Limpopo.
Just on the intervention, Honourable Member, the intervention was on provincial government. It had nothing to do with municipalities. So I'm sure you'll hear tomorrow what we've done so far since the intervention. But essentially, Costa was never affected by intervention. They continued as they were, as ourselves, being Treasury, Education, Health, Roads and Transport, and Public Works. So those are the five. So as far as the intervention goes, I think we'll have a nice discussion tomorrow about what the intervention achieved. But we can save that for tomorrow's discussion. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Mokoko, can you?
No, thanks, Chair. I think our MEC has covered some of the issues that have been raised. And I think some of the issues raised by the honourable members involve our national treasury. I believe they'll respond to some of the issues that have been raised. From our side, I think the issues raised by Salga in terms of the registration of projects, that they were concerned around the delay. I think from our side, as Cox by Limpopo, I think we had some sessions with the mayor's consent and Salga, I think they are aware in terms of the intervention plans regarding those particular delays. The delays are actually caused by some of the technical reports that the Honorable Ramaremen has actually mentioned, that we've got some technical issues in our municipalities where we don't have sufficient technical skills. And some of the reports are actually delayed in terms of the approvals. And the ones that actually involve water and sanitation, the provincial office of water and sanitation was also engaged to say that they need to actually make sure that they provide hands-on support to municipalities so that we can strike the approval of those single reports. Because if they are not approved, there's no way they will actually spend on the MIG funds that have been allocated. As the National Treasury is also aware of those particular interventions that the church tried to do. But also one option was also engage our implementing agents, our state-owned agencies, where they could also give support to make sure that we fast-track infrastructure implementation in the province. The issue raised by Honorable Fangile in terms of the litigation in Mogalakwena, I think if that information is requested, we can be able to request from the municipality in terms of the litigation. But I think the slide actually came from National Treasury in terms of those litigation that are against the municipality. But I think most of the issues we actually resolved within the municipality. As we have said, there's no stability within Mogalakwena municipality in terms of the challenges that were there in terms of services. The concern raised by Honorable in terms of the interventions, I think as a Tinkal support team, I think together with Pukunzi, we'll make sure that the intervention that we spoke about will have 10 frames so that on monthly basis we're able to review whether indeed are we making any progress in terms of those interventions that we spoke about. But basically that are linked to the fourth cleaning that was mentioned by Sark. that we are saying on monthly basis we need to track expenditure, pay municipality and check where the bottlenecks. We should not wait until the end of a particular quarter to realize that there are challenges. So that is what we've actually committed as a department, as SALGA, to make sure that we engage and support those municipalities. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thanks. Let's allow National Treasurer Yang and comment this.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, the purpose of this presentation was to just give a broad overview of Limpopo's finances and in the context of a big discussion. But certainly, I think by the time that we publish the fourth quarter results, which should be towards the end of August, we should then perhaps come to this committee to present an update for all provinces, in all the municipalities, and then we can perhaps zoom into the debt numbers, because that was not meant, and that's why we haven't addressed that at all during today's discussion. Chair, as far as the 19 mayors that was recalled versus the 9, certainly by the time when we have advised our minister, it was 19, but what I'll do is I'll rather check the facts between us and the province and SALGA so that we then drop a note to yourselves to give a factual information. So certainly at the point we've advised the minister, that was about 6-8 months ago, it was 19, but I stand to be corrected because I would rather do the prudent thing and less to double check. Chair, as far as the issue about DWA as well as sector departments not approving projects, and specifically big projects, in the DORA there's a provision that says this must be done by October every year. So if there's any institution that do not do this as a routine, then this house must help us that we must charge those officials for misconduct, because it's a law approved by this house, and it needs to be enforced. So there is no excuse why projects should not be approved by October for implementation the next year. That's the requirement in the Division of Revenue Act. So certainly we will check from our side whether there is any institution that do not follow and conform to the law. And if this has been shared with us, then we can certainly do something about it, Chairperson. Because certainly that was the intention why this House has put that provision into the Act, so it can facilitate smarter planning, so by the start of a municipal financial year, that all the ducks is in a row. Chairperson, as far as the capacity building question by Honourable De Beer, this part of the work is not dealt with me in the Treasury, but I'll certainly make sure that the colleague that's responsible, that they prepare something for this House, and I know from time to time they are required to come and report. I'm part of that steering committee, but I don't have the stats with me, and Mr. Bagunzi is also part of the steering committee where these things are discussed. So not only can we give an update on where we are with the old capacity, but also the number of advisors that's been allocated as part of that committee, the FMAP 2 committee, and how many has been deployed. Perhaps I can ask that colleague to just prepare a report for this forum. Chairperson, as far as the question on rollovers is concerned, I think it's important that this House note that every year we issue 2 budget circulars to municipalities. The second budget circular is where we put the criteria for a rollover, and we can easily share that with this House, because every year we tighten up those conditions. And in the previous, last week when I've reported, Chair, I've said that we put the criteria, there's not a CFO, that we will not approve a rollover. But certainly we can share that document with the members just by circulating it. And it's circular 75 that we've done as the most recent one. And it very well articulates the steps as well as the criteria. Chairperson, if I... municipality needs funding, they can do it in a number of ways. One of them, they can fund it from their own resources, their own taxes and revenue. But if it's a national priority, then normally what happens is the the sector department, for instance, DWA, will come on behalf of municipalities to the National Treasury via the national budget process. That's the only way we allocate new money, if it's through the national process. If a municipality wants to initiate the project, they are welcome to do it from their own funding, as long if it's within cost and their own resource ability. A chairperson normally, once the division of revenue is allocated, there's no other window for national funding, except if in the next budget cycle that there's a policy requirement that then gets submitted to this House as part of the national budget process. Chairperson, I think the MEC has made the point about the intervention and the municipal side that was not in the same process. As far as the Auditor General's support, I have indicated to Honourable De Beer that we have now managed to secure all the management letters, and in the process we're working with provincial treasuries to go through all these management letters. Now, you must imagine some of them are 400 pages long. A management letter is supposed to be a very small, mean and lean document, but depending on the challenges in the municipality, the size of a report gives you indication of how many things you have to address. And this was not a permanent feature of our assessment of misperformances. We are busy institutionalizing that, and it depends who look at the management letter. Some people would only look at revenue management. Others would be interested in financial management. Others will be interested in creditors. And what we're busy developing as a treasury is a framework that all the provincial treasuries can help and consider, because we firmly believe if you have that information to your disposal, then you would know how to position yourself from a strategy position, point of view, to address the things going forward. And at the Budget Council, Lohotla, we're going to just share the work that we've done collectively with the provincial treasuries to enable them to fulfill their oversight role much more aggressively than ever before. Because we firmly believe if they can help us, because where we sit, we obviously focus on the 17 big municipalities, but all the other delegated municipalities need the same attention, Chair. And part of that process is to then equip them and to then also capacitate them. Chairperson, I think all the other issues that have been raised by the House we will take forward in the next cycle when you ask us to, for instance, I know that KwaZulu-Natal is the next one, so we'll start preparing now already, so that the time that the requirement is sent through, that already we've got the House in order. Chairperson, I just want to clarify the point that the Council has made about us not following the law. If you've listened carefully, you said the Treasury has done the stopping without following the law. I want to clarify the point. I'm going to clarify it in every single meeting I get the opportunity. We have followed the law to the letter. The Treasury never will put themselves in an awkward position that they don't follow the law of this country. So I just want to clarify to the Councillor, we followed the law to the letter. And those municipalities that has failed, Chairperson, to honour the agreement they have with us to pay Eskom and all the votes, Mazimbi is going to be put under 2162 of the Constitution. That means no equitable share, no conditional grants for a very long time. So we've met with him, we've agreed what needs to be done. Chairperson, if there's any failure, we're going to just implement the Constitution. So I just thought, let me just make that point, because I know about three municipalities where we're going to do this, and we've given them a fair opportunity. They have not honored their commitment. So let me stop there. Thanks.
Thank you very much, yeah. Two members, Honorable Van Ligen and Charles, quick point.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like to ask Mr. Hutton, what are the regulations, and we've heard it down the Eastern Cape last week with our oversight too, that we regulate municipalities into a non-performance situation, and now today the councillor also referred to these horrific regulations. Can National Treasury just tell us what is so scary about these regulations that cannot be implemented? Although we know it's a thing that the ruling party cannot implement most, but maybe he can tell us.
What is the I don't understand your last point. Okay, that's not the point to respond to in the meeting then. It's not the question. Charles?
Yes, thank you. The point raised by Mr. I think is a crucial point, also raised by Councillor. That document that was tabled from the National Treasury, by the National Treasury, in the appropriations meeting, dealing with the withholding of the equitable share, that presentation must be circulated, Chair, to SALGA, and that must, SALGA must then circulate it to all their members in the association. Because that was a document tabled in the parliamentary committee, and it's minuted in that way. And that was the official reply, coming from 2007 or 8, if I'm correct. Thank you.
Thanks. I think what we must indicate is that regarding the matter of interventions, the committee set a time frame that within 3 months, it will invite National Treasury to share progress regarding the implementation of the decision of dealing with the matter since our presentation. So we'll keep a check on that and we'll allow that process to ensue. And we quite appreciate, I think, the presentations made today by National Treasury and the province, both departments of COXA and Department of Treasury led by the MEC. We appreciate this, as we said from the onset, that focus is on municipal grant expenditure report since the last financial year. And we had the trends to allow us to prepare for the oversight visit. Also the indication thing given. It's important, I think it is useful to have the views of SALGA in this forum. It's very important, and also to identify areas of blockages where the bottlenecks. We need to very forthrightly deal with those areas to have an understanding where failures lie. And as National Treasury is saying, stipulations that are made by the Division of Revenue, the cycle to implement projects. There's a planning cycle, I think, in the country. And to the extent that we align ourselves to this planning cycle, it's not ad hoc. It makes things to happen much more systematically so that there's a proper planning in terms of delivery of infrastructure projects in particular. Because the delay of the completion of projects within schedule, it affects, it delays the access of people to basic services, but also in a very, this has got very negative consequences. The cost escalates of providing these productive assets that are needed by communities, and the quality becomes suspect. So it's very important that we really need to deal with this. By the time you complete a project, you already, it is dysfunctional. So it's important that we really have to attend to the issues that have been highlighted in the meeting. Even the issue of the equitable share, I think the point that is made by FFC, just not looking beyond even the issues of just underlying factors, quite in depth. It will be appreciated, and if necessary, the committee will create that platform where we discuss these matters in detail. So thank you very much, members, for sharing with us these views. We'll lie with the province in terms of areas and projects that we'd like to visit during the month of September. Thanks very much. The meeting is adjourned.